convoluted topics within the religious world today, and hopefully the passages that we will look at will help us to unravel something that, people have misunderstood for years, even within the church, which is, to me, something of a shock, because the Bible teaching on this particular topic is absolutely clear. And it's unambiguous. It is something that is just very well covered within the New Testament. And that is saved by grace, rewarded for works. A lot of people on either side of the grace or the works topic will catch their breath when you say one or the other. But make no mistake, God had no problem being clear within the New Testament. Our salvation is because of Him. Our reward is contingent upon what we do. We'll be repaid either for the good we've done or the bad we've done. So the reward will be something that is great recompense, or it will be something that is just what we have coming. Let me start with, an example that maybe will help. Take a young man. He lives in an apartment by himself. He's not particularly a faithful young man. He goes out and he gets drunk. He stumbles home. He makes it in the door of his apartment. He lights a cigarette, falls asleep on the bed. Bed starts to smolder. His neighbors smell the smoke, an elderly couple, and they come knocking on his door, and, they can't rouse him, but his door is unlocked, so they're able to go in. And, sure enough, here he is, all the bedding on fire and him right in the middle of it. And they come to him, and they scream, and they beat on him, and they try and get him up, but they don't have the strength, but they do wake him up. And they're able to get him on his feet, and he's able to stumble back out the door. And they're able to, get him help. They've saved him. Now, he may have had a little bit of effort in that. He got up and stumbled out. But he wouldn't have been saved without that couple. Take that same young man, say a few years later. He's driving to work early one morning, and he sees a woman being accosted by a man trying to get him her into his vehicle. And so this young man stops, and he rushes over to her aid, and he chases that man off. Turns out that that young lady is the granddaughter of, a billionaire, and as a reward, that billionaire gives that young man $1 million. Well, obviously, for 5 minutes' work, it's not $1 million worth of effort, but to the grandparent, it was. His granddaughter was. I realize these things sound a little bit far fetched, but when I was growing up, that was a public service announcement. Don't smoke when you're in bed. Don't smoke when you're in bed. Don't smoke when you're in bed. Happened all the time, didn't it? We just saw something very recently in the news where a young lady got kidnapped in a very similar situation. Granddaughter of a billionaire. Only there wasn't anybody to save her. But we look at those two examples and we say, well, I don't have any trouble seeing the difference between him being saved from the fire and him being rewarded for what he did. Why is it that when we look at the topics of grace and work, when we look at the topic of heaven and hell, we somehow all of a sudden cannot process the difference between salvation, being saved, and heaven? The reward. Let's look at the scriptures. First of all, the Old Testament started out with this idea that a man is rewarded for his work. Psalms chapter 62 and verse 11. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he's done. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Now, the context in both of these Old Testament passages are this: whether you've done good or bad, you'll be rewarded, recompensed, paid back for what you did. Either you'll be rewarded with good things if you've done good, or you will be paid back if you've done bad. We look at that and we say, well, that's just Old Testament, not New Testament. New Testament, we're under grace. And I would say to that, amen. And to the New Testament, we are under grace. They also had grace in the Old Testament. God's mercy was still just as evident in the Old Testament as it was in the New. But we have much better direct teachings upon grace, and we also see the importance of it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know, underline that phrase, you know, the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. Now we're in the New Testament time, some 30, 40 years into the Christian era, and we're told that the church knew that God would reward a person for their conduct. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul points this out. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Well, in this instance, both Apollos and Paul were preaching the news. They were baptizing people. But Paul said, by comparison to what God does, it was nothing. And yet, even though it was nothing, each would be rewarded. The Revised Standard Version says, receive wages, the idea of you've earned it, according to his own labor. Now let's look at the combination of the two. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul is talking here and he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, talking about judgment, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Fire will test the quality of each man's work. What are you working for? If you were to think about all the things that were important to you in your life, if you were to stack them up, would they burn? Because if you're talking about your homes, your cars, your degrees, your boats, whatever it is, that burns. What won't burn? Your soul, your children's soul, the souls of your friend. So here is what he's talking about. It was by the grace of God. Paul, at one time, was known as Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a blasphemer. He was given irrefutable evidence by Jesus. Jesus appeared to him that he really was the Son of God. And Saul, who later became known as Paul, repented. He was saved not because of anything he had done. He had things he had to do, mind you. But it was by the grace of God that he even had that start. He was literally causing other Christians to blaspheme, or the Christians to blaspheme. He was putting to death those who wouldn't, or putting them in prison. He hoped to put them to death, and some he did. But notice this, it was by the grace God had given him. But then he says, now we're working on the foundation. In verse 14, if what he has built survives, he'll receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. That's kind of a hard one to unpack, isn't it? Someone who can be saved but not receive a reward? What does that mean? And I can tell you from my study of the New Testament that all I can say is, I'm not sure. I've got some ideas, but I don't want to start a controversy with an idea. I want to stick with what I can tell you from what I put my finger on in the Bible. If your work deserves reward, you'll receive a reward. For those who are Christians, if your work doesn't, they'll be saved, but only as one escaping from the flames. Does that mean no reward? I don't know. I can tell you there are passages that indicate different levels of reward and different levels of punishment. And it's Jesus who points this out. Luke chapter 12 now, in verse 47. Talking about the end time at judgment when people will be given their final fate. And talking about the unfaithful. Luke 12, verse 47. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We can see from this passage that there are different levels of punishment. Exactly what they are, God does not discuss that within the New Testament, at least not to where I can understand. All I can see is God is fair and God is just. And for those who really deserve punishment, there's a lot. And for those who deserve punishment, but not quite like the ones who knew what they should have done and didn't do it, they'll be beaten with fewer blows. Now, Luke chapter 19 and verse 12, talking about different degrees of reward. This is the parable of the minas. We spend a lot of time with the parable of the talents, but the minas apparently was given to a different group of people for which the mina was a much more readily understandable sum of money than the talent. Jesus is speaking. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. He sent for his servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Now, the reward, and we might also say the responsibility in heaven, will differ based upon your abilities and what you've done with what you have. What exactly does that mean? I don't know. But there are differing levels of punishment and differing levels of reward. We are not talking about something along the lines of a purgatory, a man-made creation that insinuates that if you're lost, you can later be saved. We're not talking about that. Once you die, your fate is sealed. And once you reach the judgment, there will be no coming back from being lost. So we don't want that to be a mistake. Only to understand there is reward and there is punishment. Ephesians chapter 2 now in verse 8. Talking about the salvation part. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, we understand full well that when we talk about God's plan of salvation, there are things you must do, and some of these things require work. In John chapter 6, verse 28, the people asked Jesus, what must we do do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So we see that belief is a work according to Jesus. You can't be saved without belief. We understand this. If you look at all of our elements of salvation, they all require some effort, don't they? You repent of a sin, that may be the hardest work you ever do, especially if you're coming out of an addiction. Believing requires that you hear at some point. That means you're seeking in the right places. Seek and you will find, is what we're told. Being baptized, that may be the least amount of work on your part, but somebody has to do some work. Each one of these, we're told, lead to salvation, but it's still by grace we've been saved. This is the reason. You cannot be saved without grace, nor can you be saved without the shed blood of Christ or the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It's not because of what we do, but we still have to do something. Like that example earlier where they roused the man, but he still had to get up and stumble out. He didn't save himself, but he did what he could on that. It's God's grace that will save you, but you do what you can. Now, as far as the reward, I love this part because it shows that God is very much like that billionaire in our example, where he gives us way more than we deserve for the little work we do. But he does appreciate that work. Mark chapter 9 and verse 40. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. You mean you're going to get a reward for just something as simple as that? Spiritual, obviously here, but also physical. And the answer is you bet. That's exactly what Jesus said. Two more passages and we'll close. 1 Peter 1:17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. God will judge your work, though you be saved. And then Colossians 3 and verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know, this phrase again, the New Testament church understood, you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. We are saved by grace. We couldn't do it on our own. And isn't that comforting for those who say, well, I could never be good enough to be saved? We have to say, amen, you can't. That's why grace. You won't be rewarded by grace. You will not be rewarded by the blood of Christ. You will not be rewarded by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. God's grace is your ticket to work for Him. Are you going to put yourself on spiritual welfare and say, I'll never lift a finger for God, He's just going to save me? Because if you are, you're violating the Scriptures. On the other hand, are you saying, well, because I'm so good, He can't help but save me? If you are, you're violating the Scriptures. We're saved from the flames of hell by God and by Christ. But we have our part to do if we want to take part in the reward. This is the only teaching the Bible has. Do we have something different? The invitation's open. If you're ready to respond, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.